for Scott Norton and his family. So it was a great day. there was people come through I've never saw. Some of y'all that's been here a lot longer than me has never saw. So people just stop and give. And it was truly amazing to see how God can work through people and take care of us if we just be willing to step out. So appreciate that. And I got one more thing. We had been on my heart, and then I heard another place in town doing it tonight, so we're going to be copycats probably. But I had mentioned last week about the movie War Room. Some of y'all have said you haven't seen it. So we will watch that this afternoon, starting at 5, if we can. We'll start at 5, where you won't be getting home so late because you've had all this work going on this weekend. But give you a little time to say it. And that War Room is a great movie. If you haven't saw it, you need to come watch it. It should change your prayer life. And it's a great movie. So we'll start at 5, and we'll talk after service. Some of us can bring some sandwich stuff or something, and because all of y'all know Jax is gone. And it has turned our church upside down. We started praying more.
Fasting.
Yeah, fasting. Even got people eating cucumber sandwiches. So we got to do something. But look forward to tonight. We'll have a good time in the Lord and draw closer to Him. Do we have any more prayer requests this morning? I know Jackie Taylor's wife had passed away, someone was telling me. And, of course, I knew Barry Taylor from Ramburn, but their son. So be much in prayer for that family. Okay. Remember that one. Rudy, what's Joe's wife? I can't remember. Pam Hightower. Remember her. She's been diagnosed with cancer, and they're going to start some treatments. So be much in prayer for that family and for her, for the doctors. Any others?
Yeah, I remember the Sims family, Clay County, 3-year-old little boy with cancer.
Remember that.
Can you...
that family. Any others? No others, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for the ones that's come out today. Father, we thank you that they saw fit to come learn more about your word and draw closer to you. Lord, we thank you for our day we had yesterday. Lord, we thank you for the community that you placed us in. I know your scripture says that we're strategically placed. You put us here where you want us for a reason. Father, I pray that we find our reason, that we be the tool that you desire to use to draw lost souls to you. Father, I pray for these singers that come this morning, Lord, that you would touch each one of them, or let them sing praises unto your name for your honor and your glory, and that only. And Father, we ask that you be with the prayer requests that we had this morning. We had many in Sunday school. Father, you can touch them as none other can. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and we thank you for that name of Jesus. Father, I ask that we make much of him, that we lift him up today, and that everything we do and say in this place will be to honor and glorify your name. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
troubles of this world, for your peace inside my soul. This was not what I would have chosen. But you see the future, no one knows. And there's still good when I can see the working of your hands. You're holding it all.
Morning again. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. You know, we'll just make yourself at home and proud you're here with us this morning. I know we've got one with us. We're from Lineville. We got two Lineville folks on the same bench. We got trouble.
Watch out.
Up front. But no, glad to have Matt with us this morning. Means a lot to our family. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. As I was, I did not talk to Miss Peggy as she was playing out the songs this morning, but the songs went right along with the message God's laid on my heart, and it's amazing when that happens and lets you know for certain that you went the right way, that the Lord would have you to go that week. And then we're going to preach about the most valuable, precious thing that has ever been on this earth this morning, and it's not your husband, Misty. Y'all had to be in our Sunday school class to understand that. But and it's not even your children. It's not gold. As I was preparing for this morning, I had a little time and I Googled the price of gold. It's about $12,400-something per ounce. Silver, I was surprised, is only worth about $17 an ounce. So you don't want any silver if you can get gold. That's good advice. It's free. But this morning there's something available to us that's more precious, more valuable than anything that has been, ever been on earth, was the blood of Jesus. And this morning we're going to preach about that precious blood of Jesus. It's something that is not mentioned enough in our churches today. It's not preached about enough. But it's the only thing that makes a difference in mine and your life is where that blood has been applied. That's the only thing that separates a sinner from a saint, is the precious blood of Christ. And boy, thank God for that Spirit, the drawing us to Him, and that blood that was shed. Now, you'll hear a lot of preachers say that the blood was spilled. It wasn't spilled. I spill water. I spill Coca-Cola. I spill my sweet tea. Or if you've got small children, you know what a spill is. It's an accident. But shedding is not an accident. He shed His blood for you and me freely, not asking nothing of me and you, but simply faith. We put our faith in Him. And I got several things about the blood this morning. I'm going to try to not keep you too long. I know y'all are tired. We've had a long weekend, and we're going to have a little time tonight to spend fellowshipping and with a movie and different things. And but this morning, I want you to take just this amount of time to put your mind, honestly, on this blood of Christ. I want you to understand before you leave here truly what this meant to you and meant to me. The Bible teaches without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you would still be a sinner. You would be lost without a holy God. But you know the most important, powerful thing about the blood of Christ is how it's so powerful it can take a relationship that was broken between sinful man and holy God and mend it. It's a bridge between God and man. Made a way that me and you one day can stand in the presence of a holy God unashamed, knowing that we belong there because it's blood of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 18 and 19 to make it tie together. But it says, "For as much as you know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you touch us in this service this morning. Father, more than anything, I pray your Holy Spirit's in our midst. Lord, send it to us this morning. Without you, it don't matter how many words we preach, how many great words we can come up with. Until you speak, nothing's made a difference. Father, we pray that you speak in the lives of people. We pray that you use our church to touch communities. Father, again, we thank you for yesterday. God, for the blessings you sent upon Scott Norton and his family, the compassion you showed through our community of Heflin and surrounding communities. Father, we thank you for that compassion that was shown through businesses and different things of giving. And, oh, Father, it's just how you work in our midst. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you to be with us this morning in this service. And God, my prayer is that somebody this morning that needs you will find you through this precious blood. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. The first part about the blood of Jesus, it says in the scripture, in our song, man, y'all sang about it. How amazing is that this morning? It's precious. Precious. You know the way I like to look up these words and study out these words? Now look up the meaning of precious. It says a precious is a substance or a resource of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. I thought, man, what amazing it is they put that word precious with the blood of Christ. I don't know of anything that's more of a great value than the blood of Christ. And I don't know of anything more, Terry, than we trample than the blood of Christ. We live in a nation that is so greatly blessed that I can stand here and I can preach about the blood of Jesus and not worry about the policeman coming to get me. I can stand here and I can preach not worrying about probably somebody from ISIS coming through those doors wanting to shoot me. And I can stand here and I can preach. And boy, what amazing it is today that we can do that. And many times I take and I trample the blood of Jesus under my feet. And in our country, people take this blood of Jesus as nothing anymore. We tend to think because we was born here and this is a Christian nation. And by the way, I still believe this is a Christian nation. I'm not going to believe what some president said. I believe there's Christian people. I saw it yesterday. I saw a Christian community yesterday come together. But listen, this blood of Christ, it's the most valuable thing that's ever been on earth. And guess where it is today? The Bible says it's in heaven. He went up there and he applied it to the mercy seat. And then he done something. Boy, it's amazing. I'm about to get ahead of myself of getting so excited here this morning. But listen, it's a resource of great value, not to be wasted. You realize how many people will leave this walks of life have wasted an opportunity to have the precious blood of Christ applied to their heart and life. How many people that God has drawn through his power and let them understand they was lost and that they needed a Savior, but because of pride or because of some other reason, they turn their head to it. They turn their heart to it and they leave. They leave this walks of life never having that precious blood applied. And the scripture teaches without him, there's no salvation. Without that blood, there's no salvation. They leave this walks of life, and they have wasted their opportunity to spend eternity with a holy God. Boy, I don't know of anything today that is more wasted. You see precious gold. You won't find any gold today be wasted. If people has gold in their presence, you know what they'll do. They'll get it, and they'll go to one of these places. You see them everywhere, don't you? We buy gold. We buy silver. They'll take this thing, and boy, if we happen to lose something that is gold, you know what we'll do? We'll hunt it forever, won't we? We'll dig, and we'll hunt, and we'll scram, seeing if maybe we can find that little piece of gold because, hey, y'all, it's worth $12,000 an ounce. We better find that stuff. But how many people has come in these doors or heard us preach the gospel or heard other people preach the gospel or heard teachers teach the gospel and walk out the doors not realizing they just turned their back to the most valuable substance that's ever been on earth? But we struggle our whole lives to get gold, to get wealth. We struggle. We struggle. But it says not to be wasted or treated carelessly. How carelessly, Christians, do we treat this blood of Christ? How carelessly do we treat our salvation? We think, hey, it's just something God gave to me. I'm saved. I'm okay. So let me go about my business. That is not what the scripture teaches. It teaches today that the reason we were saved is that God might use us to bring others back to him. So he might use us to stand here today and to preach and say, hey, you need this blood of Jesus. You must have this blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that will make a difference. Verse 19 tells us that we're redeemed. The word redeemed is set free by paying a price is what it means. If you redeem your purchase, you can go, you get a coupon, you have to go redeem that thing. But guess what? You've got to pay a certain price to redeem that coupon. So when we redeem it, we pay a price for something, and it sets it free. It gives it to us today. Me and you were set free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not to be wasted, not to be treated carelessly. If you're here and you saved this morning, you're going to be so proud that you have been that this precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. But you see, many times we'll go around and we'll be sad and we'll be down and out. We'll be worried. We'll be confused. And we'll be all beside ourselves because life is so bad. And we tend to forget that our Father owns the cattle of a thousand hills. We tend to forget that our Father can speak and light comes into existence. We tend to forget that he can speak and our troubles will be gone. We tend to forget that he holds everything in the palm of his hand. And this precious blood was given to me and you. Not to be taken for granted or wasted. Wasted. How many people have wasted this opportunity? How many people have wasted their opportunity to know Jesus Christ? That's the biggest thing that they have been. I have read stories about great athletes of where they wasted their life on drugs and other things. I've read stories about husbands who have wasted their life of causing affairs or addictions, or you can just go on and on with this thing. I've read it about all these things, but never have will you read another story about where someone that's more sad than someone leaving this walks of life without Jesus Christ. There's nothing more sad than that. We got all upset when we hear these stories of people wasting their life on stuff and doing this, but how upset today do we get when we hear about someone dying? Now listen, we don't know anybody's heart, but when the Bible says we can know them by their fruit, but we know how their fruit looked today. But how many times have we saw somebody leave this walks of life, and according to the scriptures, they didn't know Jesus, they would wind up in a place called hell, and it seems not to bother me and you. There's a song that comes on the radio. Emily was singing it this morning. I think it may be Toby Mac. I don't listen to him that much, but listen. He says, give me your eyes for just one second. And I thought about that in the song. You see, I can't listen to that music. My kids make fun of me because I like George Jones. I like slow stuff. Because I'm slow, Brandon. I like slow stuff. But listen, if you listen to that song, he says he's talking about coming into an airport. The plane sits down, and if you've ever been in an airplane, people get up and they run all over one another trying to get out of the thing. They run over one another trying to get into the thing. Then you run over one another trying to get out of the airport. It's what you do. But that's a good example of we don't realize that everybody is going somewhere. And he asked God to give him his eyes for just one second. If we could just stop and see what those people mean to God. Just stop and see that those people are people that God came to save. He shed his blood for the very same person sitting beside you on that airplane or in that airport. He shed his blood for that. What if we could have just a minute to realize that we need to be teaching about this, we need to be preaching about it, and every chance we get, we need to be telling lost people about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Don't waste an opportunity. It says if something's precious, it won't be wasted or treated carelessly. I want to show you something else about the blood of Jesus. It's perfect. It's perfect. We preached about this about Christmas time, but you remember, the Bible teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin birth, and that man's blood never had anything, or the woman's blood there never come in contact with a fetus. You remember that story? I had a book on it, Chemistry of Blood. I think Brother Paul's borrowing it right now, reading it, but listen. In that, Dr. Dehan, I think he died in the 40s or something, but he goes through of how when a fetus is in its mother's womb, the blood never comes in. So Jesus had perfect blood. The perfect blood of Jesus was shed for me and you. But listen, if you look up the word meaning perfect, you know what it means? It says it's have all the required or desirable elements or qualities or characteristics to make something as good as possible. I can't think of a better word to describe his blood than perfect. Hey, it had all the desired qualities that we need to wash the sin of our life away. He had all the qualities we need to make us according to Jesus Christ. I began reading about something that, I'm going to get there in a minute, about the Passover of Jesus. The Passover of the Lamb there in Exodus. About when the children of Israel was brought out of Egypt. I began reading about that, and it said, listen, did you realize that when that blood was applied to that doorpost, the Passover came into effect, and God told them something. And I never saw that until this morning. They even started their calendar over. The calendar started over the day of Passover. Now listen, the Bible says the blood must be applied to my heart and the doorpost of my life as it was that doorpost in that day. And listen, what happens is, brother, we get a brand new birthday. We get a brand new start. We've got a brand new, our calendar should start over. Now, the Bible says we become a new creature. All things become new. Listen, at that point in life, we get a brand new start. We get a brand new start because of this perfect blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus by far surpasses the quality that his father set up in the law. You study about the law. When it was first instituted, what was it? The sacrifices was to be made. And boy, if you turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 13, listen to this. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. There it is. The calendar was to start over. Speak you unto all congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make for your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. It's hard to read backwards, y'all. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Thou shalt take of the blood, listen to this, and strike it into the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pureness thereof, and he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it the morning shall be burned with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass, I said something funny, the whole crowd, front crowd laughed. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Do you realize what it said about the lamb? It must be without spot, without blemish. It must be a perfect lamb. If something don't have a spot or don't have a blemish, brother, it's perfect. It tells us we must have a perfect lamb. And he gave precise instructions of what to do with that lamb. Now, I can imagine, I've told this here before, and I probably preached it before, but can you imagine being the firstborn son? Can you imagine being the firstborn? Boy, you'd make sure that daddy had things right, wouldn't you? You'd be sure that daddy killed that sucker just like it's supposed to be done. You'd make sure that daddy put it up and watched it. And you know what they said as I began studying? Why did they need to put this animal up for the time? To make sure it wasn't sick. But you know what else? Because just like we all do, we've all got pets we become attached to. In that amount of time, they would have become attached to that precious, spotless little lamb. So when that thing died, they had a connection to it. To realize that something had died so they could go free. It's the doctrine of substitution, if you look in the Old Testament. It's where the doctrine of substitution come into play. So they realize this thing. Listen, God told them to do something. He said, when you kill it, take the blood with a hyssop and put it on the top of the doorpost and on the sides of the doorpost. Now, can you imagine what would begin happening when you put this blood, you just wiped it up there on the doorpost and you put it on the sides right here and you probably put it on very thick because you know why? You would make sure that firstborn was covered. The writer I read this morning said that blood would begin dripping from the sides and from the top. And there'd be a cross in front of the door. Boy, think about that this morning. That blood would be, see, they put it on extra thick. You know why? Because they wanted it to stay. They wanted it to be there. So he told them, he said, put the blood post. Put the blood on the doorpost. And do everything just right. And when the death angel passes over, and I see the blood, I will pass over you. Listen tonight, church member. Listen tonight, person sitting in the pews. If not blown here, not, it don't matter this morning. What does matter is that when he passes by you, will he see the blood? Will he see the blood? Has the blood of the Lamb been applied to the doorpost of your heart? If it hadn't this morning, brother, you better make sure it is before you leave this place. Don't leave here. Listen, I promise you that firstborn son would not have went to bed if the blood wasn't on the door. You know why? Because it was his life. Listen, we're not dealing with something that'll pass away. We're not dealing with silver and gold that can burn up. We're dealing with eternal life. Amen. Eternally. You're not dealing with something that's going to pass away. If you go to heaven, you're in eternal paradise forever. If you go to hell, you're in eternal torment forever. You're not dealing with our time. You're not dealing with our years. You're not dealing with months. You're not dealing with days. You're dealing with eternity. It's very serious. He said, make sure you apply it to the doorpost. And when the angel passes by and sees it, he'll move on by. Boy, can you imagine of being that firstborn son and waking up in the morning thinking, whew, I'm still here. Daddy put it on there right. Daddy put it on there right. Allison Brown, she's kin to us, but she went to Concord with us for years. She used to sing that song, The Blood Is Still There. Boy, it says through the rain and the storms and everything, it was applied with love and care. It won't just wash away. It's there forever. To stay. Listen, the blood has been applied to our lives tonight. This was a perfect blood. It was from a perfect sacrifice. It was done the way that God said it had to be. Have you ever thought about why in the world would God have wanted to give his only son for something as sorry as you and me? I can't explain that to you today, but what I can tell you is it was love. It was grace and it was mercy. Think about that same thinking was going through that father's head. That night he was applying that thing. This is my firstborn son. This is my son. I got to put it on here right. I got to make sure everything's right. Listen, mamas and daddies, how diligent have we been teaching the word of God to our children? How diligent have we been teaching it to our grandchildren and making sure, hey, I don't care how young they are. You read them Bible stories. I promise you, them little guys will catch on faster than you realize. You read them the word of God. You teach them the word of God. And listen, it's not up to you to save them. You cannot save them. But when the Spirit of God draws them, then they'll realize they must be saved. Amen. That's what it's about this morning. That's what it's about. The blood of Jesus was perfect. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Where is the blood? Where is that blood I preached about that was applied to the doorpost of our life? Where is it today? The blood that Jesus shed. Where is that blood? The scripture teaches in Hebrews that he went into the Holy of Holies. He took that thing, if you want to think of it, as a hyssop, and he applied it to that Holy of Holies. And he done something that the priest could never do in the temple because the priest, it was continuously having to go in and out. To make sacrifice for all man. He was continuously on the move. You realize, I think I preached it here before, he had bells tied to him on his robe. He had a rope tied to him, so if the bells quit jingling, they had to jerk him out of there because nobody else could go in. And listen, tonight or today, me and you, because of Jesus going into the Holy of Holies, he applied the blood, he sat down on the right hand of the Father, and he made access directly to the throne of God for us because the blood's been applied. The perfect sacrifice was made. Do you realize what it said? He sat down. Something the priest could never do. He sat down. You search the temple and where the temple was set up in the Old Testament, and you know what you would never find in the Holy of Holies? Was a chair. Wasn't a chair in there. But listen, Jesus went to the Holy of Holies, which the Bible teaches is the temple was a picture of things that is in heaven. And so he went into the Holy of Holies that's in heaven. He applied the blood for me and you, and he sat down in a chair on the right hand of the Father, and he's forever making intercession for me and you. I don't have to go to a man. You don't have to come to me and tell me what you've done wrong. Most of the time I can see what you do wrong. But I'm just kidding. But listen. You don't have to go to a man and say, I've done this and this. You've got authority that happened. We saw a picture of it at the crucifixion. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That showed that me and you today had access to the Holy of Holies. We can go boldly through the throne of grace, the Bible says. We can come before a holy God, confident that he will hear us, confident that he won't strike us down, confident. Can you imagine being that high priest? And it would always be in the back of your mind, am I clean enough to go to the Holy of Holies? Am I clean enough to go in to make intercession today? Are there something I need to confess? Oh God, am I forgetting something? But listen, me and you today can go boldly because the blood has been applied. Boldly. So it's perfect blood. Listen what else it is. It's powerful. It's powerful. We was cutting up the other Wednesday night. They were singing Power in the Blood. You just can't sing that song and say power in the blood. It don't make sense. You got to say power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Listen, the blood of Jesus has power that the bulls or goats never could have. The blood of Jesus not only covers sins, it washes them away as though they was never there. You see, the bloods, the bulls and the goats and all these other sacrificial animals, it hid the sin for a year. It did away with it for a short period of time. But when Jesus went in and applied his perfect blood, his precious blood, his powerful blood to the Holy of Holies, the Bible says it's one sacrifice for all times. It washed away every sin of all mankind for whoever will come by faith to him. Washed it away. It's gone. You realize what we read about in that scripture of the Passover? There was a brand new calendar started. A brand new time. Hey, it's washed away. Oh, listen, it don't matter what you've done in the past. It don't matter what you're doing right now. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash all that away. And the past, but let me tell you what the past will do. The past will haunt you. The past will keep you down. The past will keep you from being what God's called you to be. Listen, the past is somewhere we can't go back to. I can't go back and change what I done yesterday. I can't go back and change what I done 10 years ago or all these years ago, Pat. And I mean, just a few years for you, but listen. I can't change what I've done in the past, but listen, what I can do is change what I'll do today. I can change what I'll do in the future. The past is gone. We don't live there anymore. We're in the here and now, in the future to come. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, it forever washed that sin away. So when he's come, the old serpent will come and he'll tell you, you can't do that. You know what you've done such and such time? You know what you've done of how you was involved with this sin or you was involved with that sin or you remember this time you done that? You tell him, get away from me, you old booger. Get away from me. That's gone. That's washed away. My calendar started brand new the day that blood was applied. You have no more power over me. That don't apply to me. That was the old me. I'm not there no more. I'm a brand new creature and you leave me alone. The Bible says he has to go. You tell him the name of Jesus to flee, he has to run. Priests would sacrifice yearly. The sins of themselves, the people. Was never any rest. Jesus sacrificed once. And then he sat down. This blood is so powerful. So powerful, it can cleanse the most mass murderer they've ever been. It can cleanse the most vile child sex offender there's ever been. It can cleanse the most adulterous woman or adulterous man there has ever been. It can cleanse the worst addict there's ever been. It can cleanse anything you want to think about and put in that thing. Brother, it's powerful enough to wash it away. It can cleanse it. It can take it away. It's more powerful than anything you can even imagine. So powerful. hard to think that someone who has hurt children or has done things in their life that was so vile to me and you, it's hard to believe they can come to a holy God and cry out. At that moment, the Scripture teaches that the blood is applied to our hearts and lives, that our Passover is done. It says it's hard to believe this blood is so powerful it could wash away those sins that's so vile to me and you. And me and you don't even see sin being vile as God sees it. Listen, it's black, completely black to Him, but it can wash it away where the worst sinner you've ever had, you have in your mind right now. When I say this, somebody's popping into your mind. Somebody you've heard on TV that killed all these people, or somebody you know in your community that's been convicted of child molesting or different things is coming to your mind. It's so powerful that person can stand in front of a holy God if it's been applied to their heart and life and they belong there because of that blood. Me and you say they need to hang them. They need to kill them. Listen, I know but judgment's got to be done. I'm for that. I'm for doing what the Bible teaches about that. But listen tonight. This blood is so powerful. And I'm afraid we have people sitting on our pews every Sunday, and they're held back by the past that had them. They're held back by the decisions they made. Listen, this Bible is a Bible of grace. Christianity is a religion of grace. It's not a religion. It's a way of life. Listen, it's about grace. It's about mercy. It's about forgiveness. But we'll do something. We think, hey, that's my name is attached to that forever. I'm forever that thought right there. But brother, according to the Bible, when that blood was applied, you got a brand new calendar. The year started brand new. Time started over. It's so powerful. It can change time. It can change who you are. And it has. If you are saved today, it has changed who you are. According to the Scripture, you may not always do right, brother, but you know right. You may not always practice it, but you know it. I promise you, if you're a child of God and you do anything that's contrary with this Word of God, I promise you that Holy Spirit is like a nerve in you that says, boy, it's wrong. Don't do it. You see what me and you'll do is I immediately come up with my excuses. But I know so-and-so is a preacher and he does it. But I know this is that. Listen, you don't compare yourself to me. You don't compare yourself to Billy Graham. You compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be right. It's so powerful. I put a summary with this today, and I'm finishing a little bit early. I'm going to give you a break. We're going to beat all of them to get our table up there. We are humans are lost and undone and in need of a Savior. Heaven was searched and only one found to be sufficient. John said it right when he saw Jesus coming. You remember what he said? In John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John realized who he was. The Spirit of God showed John who Jesus was. Has he showed you today? See, before you can get saved, you've got to realize who you are and who he is. When you realize that today, you can come to know him by simple faith. And I want to tell you something. That blood I preached about that's so precious, that's so powerful, man, it's so perfect. I left this one out, but it'd be good, Terry. I forgot this one some way. It's present. It's here today. It's still available. It didn't run out. It'll never run out as long as time goes. That blood is ever sufficient. We may not see it. Hadn't saw it in a long time, probably some of us. May not see it like we did. I've heard people talk about in the 70s where it was dangerous for a sinner to drive through a church parking lot. People's being saved so fast. I heard people talk about that and cut up about it. But listen, we might not have seen it in a long time. I want to tell you some news that you hadn't heard on Fox. That you might have heard it on Fox, but you hadn't heard it on CBS or any of those other stations, I promise you. But Jesus is still in the saving business. He's not quit. Because things are so bad and it's 2017 and people accept about anything, Jesus Christ is still who he was when he was crucified. The blood is still ever powerful. It's still present. It's still perfect. And it will save you today. Amen. Don't matter what you've done. Don't matter where you've been. It can save. I think the verse today is, just as I am. They'll come. Everyone please stand. You see, that's how you come today, just as you are. I'm afraid there's been too many people that tried to change before they came to Christ. It won't last. It won't work. It can't work. The sacrifices you can try to make in your life to make yourself good enough, It's the same sacrifice of bull and goats. No God in power. The sacrifice has been made through Jesus Christ. And me and you today, that blood gets applied. When I come and I cry out to a holy God, say, Father, I know I'm a sinner. Save me by your amazing grace. Confess that we're a sinner. Cry out to him. And the Bible says he's just and faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This blood is still powerful. It still needs to be preached. It still needs to be taught. It still needs to be talked about. It still needs to be, we still need to have our communion services. And let us understand, because we as people, we so quickly forget what that word precious means. Not to be wasted. Not to be treated carelessly. Not to be just thrown around. If you're a Christian today, you're something special. You're a child of the King. You've been redeemed. You've been paid for. And one day you'll be claimed. You'll be with the Father who paid the price for you through his only Son. As we sing today, will you just be honest with God and come to him? Just come.